Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition Database Logger, Configuration, Usage, and Troubleshooting. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's webcast, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to WebSphere MQ, FTE Database Logger, Configuration, Usage, and Troubleshooting. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines up for a live Q&A period. And finally, the session will end with a summary of today's webcast. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Yana Johnson, WebSphere MQ Level 2 Software Support Engineer.
Hello, this is Yana. I have been with IBM for 11 years, 10 out of which were with IBM WMQ Level 2 Support.
Thank you, Yana. Next, we have Jason Simmons, Staff Software Engineer, WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support.
Thank you, Joseph. Jason Simmons here. I have been with IBM for 11 years as well, and 6 of those years with WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support. Previous to that, I did support a product called Host on Demand. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Next, we have Belinda Fowler, Advisory Software Engineer, WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support.
Good afternoon. This is Belinda Fuller. I work primarily within the WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support and have been since approximately 2010 in January. And my area of expertise is generally SSL and WebSphere Application Server SI Bus Configuration. Prior to that, I held various positions within the Tivoli organization over the past 15 years, primarily in the Maximo Level 2 Support area.
Thank you, Belinda. Next, we're Pranav Mehta, Staff Software Engineer, WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support.
Hello, everyone. This is Pranav. I'm with IBM for about 10 years, and I've been working at Level 2 MQ Support since 2008. And earlier than I was working on Tivoli monitoring among the other roles. Thank you.
Thank you, Pranav. And next, we have Gareth Bottomley.
Thank you, Joseph. I've been working for IBM in the software development labs for the last 14 years. I'm the component owner for the database logger in the WMQ FTE development team. Thank you.
Thank you, Gareth. And unfortunately, one of our experts today, Paul, isn't available, so he won't be joining our discussion today. Before we get to the Q&A period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Jason.
Thank you, Joseph. Slide number 4 is the introduction, and good morning, everyone. We'll be covering a number of questions covering topics related to the WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition Database Logger feature. One of the key features of WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition, and something that provides our customers a way to put the transfer log audit trail into a relational database, is something that was heavily sought after by our client base. So with that, the items that we'll be covering are deal with installation, usage, and troubleshooting. Those, what we'll be covering are specific to distributed platforms that include AIX, HP Unix, Linux, Solaris, and Windows platforms. Slide number 5, please.
Hello, this is Yana Johnson again. I'll be covering question number one. Question one is, what is the WebSphereMQ File Transfer Edition FTE database logger? Slide number six, please. And the answer is basically when WebSphereMQ File Transfer Edition transfers files, it would publish the information about its actions to a topic on the coordination queue manager. The database logger is an optional component of the WebSphereMQ FTE that you can actually use to copy this information to the database for analysis and the auditing purposes in the future. There are two versions available as to how you can install this feature. The first version is the standalone Java platform, standard edition JSC application. This is something that would be installed on the system that hosts the coordination key manager and the database. And another version is a Java platform enterprise edition JEE application, which is something that will be provided as an ear file, which you will be able to install into an application server. Next slide, please, Joseph. The second question is, do I need any authority to run WebSphereMQ FTE database logger? Let's move on to the next slide, slide number eight. All right, here it is. So when you're using the FTE database logger, here's a list of authorities that you're going to have to grant to the operating system user, which is going to run the database logger. So the first one is that the coordination queue manager will require a connect and inquire authority to work. So whichever user is going to access the coordination queue manager, they will need a plus connect plus inc authority for a user, and I'm listing the command here as an example. The next authority that the user is going to require is a subscribe permission to the system.fte topic. Okay, so it's going to be a setmq auth for the queue manager, and you will specify your topic as systemfte minus p for a user and plus sub. Okay. The next permission is a put permission for the systemfte database logger reject queue. And as you see the command listed as an example, it will need a plus put authority. The last but not least is a get permission for systemfte database logger command queue, and you will see a plus get being granted to a user via setmq aut command. As always, when you implement these commands, don't forget to issue a refresh security command on the queue manager for the new authorizations to take effect. At this time, let's move on to the next question on slide number nine.
Okay, question number three deals with something that you may run into while you're installing and deploying the database logger. So here we go. Step three of the installing the WebSphereMQ File Transfer Edition standalone database logger says that you need to run a SQL script called ftelog_tables_db2.sql in order to create the required database tables for your database. However, when you run or when I run the SQL file against my DB2 database, I get the error message SQL0670N. The row length of the table exceeded a limit of 4,005 bytes. How do I resolve this? Slide number 10, please. The answer is that the SQL0670N error means exactly that the row length of one or more of those tables that gets created by the SQL script exceeds the page size used when the DB2 database was created. If the error states that the limit is 4,005. Your database was created with the default page size, which is 4K. The DB2 database should have been created with a page size of 8K or greater in size, and that is per step number 2 in the installation instructions for the database logger, something which we will be covering later on in this presentation. The link there is provided to exactly which document step number 2 resides on. And to resolve this, resolve the SQL 0670N error, the database used by the WMQFTE database logger will need to be recreated. So recreate the DB2 database with the page size of at least 8K, and you will be able to run the script against your database. Slide number 11, please.
Okay, so question number 4 is, how do I install and configure WebSphere MQFT database logger on a standalone setup? Okay, so let's go to slide number 12, please. Okay, so it's noted here you need a prerequisite here noted that you need a MQFT server version 7.0.3 or later, and then you need a WMQFT database logger version. Usually when you do the, if you already have a file transfer and if you have a plugin installed, the database logger usually installed, but it's always good to check. The database logger comes in a tools and documentation CD or a tar file. And you need a base MQ version 7.0.1 or later. And your choice of database here supported are Oracle or DB2. So further noted here is if you need a step-by-step setup for, you know, it's always good to have a basic file transfer already set up and working. But if you need a help here, there is a link. If you click on it, noted here is you click on it, you click on that, and you will be able to take another WFTE. And finally, you need to have a configure and ready-to-use database. If you have, you know, with knowledge or of SQL, and so it would help you do the PD if you run into any problems. All right, let's go to slide number 13, please. Okay, so MQFT database logger, where standalone plus binding. As you can see on the right-hand side corner, there is I had a Windows box. I had a DB2 installed locally, and I had a base MQ installed, and MQFTE with the database logger, everything installed in the same box. So that's why it's a standalone plus binding. If you were to have a database installed not locally, but if you are very remote, you can click on the link below on the note where it has a bunch of different steps needs to be taken. We'll talk about it a bit later on some of the steps. So there are 6 steps. Step 1 is run SQL script. As already Jason mentioned, you need to have that kind of setup. We'll talk about that on the following slide. Then you need to check for database queue that Yana spoke earlier, the database logger.command, and other queue needs to be created. Then you need, step number 3 is check and grant user permission. Step number 4 is configuring transaction support or database support or XA. And finally, create a database logger property file and put the information there. And towards the end, start the database logger command. Okay, let's go to slide number 14, please. Okay, so as noted, you need to run an SQL script. So why do we need to run the script? You know, because there is a SQL, the database installed on your box, but it doesn't really know anything about the MQFT or base MQ installed on the same box. So in order to store the data, there is a script called ftelog_table_db2 or Oracle based on your database. You run this script to create the needed tables and triggers and everything. And to run the script on DB2 side, you can run db2-v-t-f and the script name. And if you have an older version of FTE installed, then there is a bunch of different, for example, so different version of SQL files are there in the install directory. So also an SQL directory where you need to run them in order to do up-to-date FD database logger install. So now step number two, check for database in queue. Since the way we already notified database about the MQ, we also preparing MQ for database. So we need two queues need to be there. Just make sure the system FT database logger.reject and system FT database logger.command are there. Usually they are created during the coordination queue manager when you run the MQSC script, but it's always good to check. And also the system FT database logger.reject queue acts as a dead letter queue. Okay, let's go to slide number 15, please. Hey. As already noted earlier, you need to have a user permission in order to do the work, everything properly. So make sure the user ID is created and have a proper authority to access MQ and database and vice versa. And for example, here in the Windows, muser_mqadmin, which start the MQ on Windows, that needs to be part of a DB2 user group. In other environments, for example, Unix and Linux, the user ID has to be part of a separate group, which has a DB2 or Oracle installed. Okay, let's go to step number four, configuring a transaction support or XA support. You need to copy a DLL file from it's in your MQ install directory, Java, lib, and JDBC directory, and you copy that over to exit directory. So usually a JDBC DB2.dll or JDBC OR8.11 version of your Oracle.dll file, you copy and drag and drop here. In the other environment, you do the similar stuff. And you do the XA config via MQ Explorer for Windows. And you go to the MQ Explorer coordination queue manager and the property. And in that, you need to provide the information of name of database, a switch file we just mentioned, and other parameters where you put the ID and password. So which makes communicate between your MQ, FTE, and DB communicate properly. All right, let's go to slide number 16, please. And then create a database logger property file. Make sure you put the file in your coordination queue manager. And you put this information in the file, such as a queue manager name, your database name, your database driver, for example, db2.jcc.jar. And make sure the semicolon for Windows environment, sometimes on Unix environment, it's a colon, to separate the two files and the db2.jcc.license.cu.jar file. And also notify which native library path, for example, here is for DB2 is DB2 install directory, IBM, DB2, and lib. And as I noted earlier, if you have where to have Oracle, you put some more information in the Oracle here, or if you have the DB2 or Oracle is not installed locally, if it's a client side or other side, then you provide the user ID and password here as well. Okay, let's go to slide number 17, please. And finally, at this point, just restart your coordination queue manager. Make sure all the everything starts up. If you run into any error, look into error logs and find out and PD that issue. And you start the database logger with dash F. Start FTE start database logger. It's usually located in the bin directory. And everything seems to be running. For testing purposes, I created a monitor. Monitor name is FTE log underscore testing, and I provide different triggering and matching. I did the transfer. Transfer happened. So let's go to slide number 18, please. Thank you. The transfer happened, the file was transferred, and I wanted to see what is it in doing for testing purposes. So I went to the database and looked for that monitor table, and inside that I see that ID, the name, all the needed instruction or information for my transfer. And the same way you can have any kind of monitor or schedule or any kind of configuration, and all the tables are there, and you can see the transfer there. Okay, let's go to slide number 19, please.
Thank you, Pranav. This is question number 5, and this was Belinda Fuller, who will be talking about how do I install the WebSphere MQ FTE JEE database logger. Slide 20. please? The FTE-JEE Logger is a J2EE compliant application that runs within a supported J2EE compliant application server. They are the WebSphere Application Server Community Edition and the WebSphere Application Server Version 7. In addition to the need for WebSphere Application Server software, you'll also need a database, and that can be Oracle or DB2. WMQ FTE Server Version 7.03 or later is required. WMQ FTE Database Logger needs to be installed, as well as WMQ Version 7.01 or later. Slide 21, please. The JEE DB Logger application allows you to connect remotely to both the queue manager and a database using client connections. Binding's connections to the queue manager is also supported as long as MQ is installed in the same physical machine as WebSphere application server. But the difference you'll note here is that the database does not require the same type of connection bindings as is in the standalone environment. So a database client does not need to be installed. The steps below outlined over the next several slides show you the order you will need to follow to ensure that you have all of the necessary software and required configuration before attempting to start the application. First step is to create a database and a schema for use with the MQ FTE DB Logger application using either of the supported database vendor software. Again, that can be DB2 or Oracle. The schema name used by the database logger by default is FTE Log, but you can change that and choose whatever you like. Second step is to run the appropriate database script for your database. You can also manually run the commands to create the required tables, triggers, and sequences needed by the database logger. The scripts that contain the commands that must be run are located in the default directory on Windows, which is Tools SQL. It may be different if you chose non-default installation paths. Before running the scripts, though, you will need to make sure that you have updated the schema name referenced within it to match whatever you chose during step one. Slide 22, please. The third step is to update the application ear file so that the persistent XML files contained within it reference the correct schema name that you chose during step one. This is the ear file that contains the database logger application, which you will later deploy to the application server. On Windows, the application ear files are located in WMQ FTE Tools web directory. The DB2 ear file is called com.ibm.wmqfte.databaselogger.jee.ear. And the Oracle one is similar, except it contains before the last three letters the word Oracle. There are different methods you can use to update this file, either directly within the ear file using WinZip and Magic, or by extracting and recreating the ear file after changes are made to the persistent XML files. In step four, you will create command and reject queues used by the database logger. These queues should already exist on your coordination queue manager if it was created using a newer version of FTE Server. But if not, you can create them manually. The script is located in your Coordination Queue Manager subdirectory under config. Slide 23, please. In step 5, you create a necessary operating system user accounts for both the WebSphere application server and any other users that you want to be able to run these transfers to access the objects they need. But for the database logger, it has to be a specific user running the application server. So this user has to be granted authority to those specific tables needed by the database logger. In step 6, you will create J2C authentication aliases. One will be used for connecting to the database through the JDBC provider, and one will be using the MQ provider to connect to MQ. Step 7 requires that you create a new XA JDBC provider for your database. You need to ensure that you use an XA driver when setting up your provider. You then create a JDBC data source using the provider. The JINDI name of the data source is referenced by the application, so you need to ensure that you specify it correctly as JDBC/WMQFTE-database. This is how the database logger will communicate from the application to the database. Here you also specify the J2C authentication alias for the database user you created previously. Slide 24, please. In step 8, you log into the WebSphere console, and using the WebSphere MQ messaging provider, you create a queue connection factory, a topic, a queue, and an activation specification. When specifying your channel connection name, you provide the details to connect to your coordination queue manager. You need to ensure that you record all of the JINDI names used to create these resources because they will be referenced in the next step, which is deploying your application. The second J2C authentication alias is used during this step, and that is the one that we created for the MQ user. Step 9 is the last step. You deploy the appropriate application ear file, depending on your database vendor, to your WebSphere application server 7 or Community Edition. You will be asked for the JINDI names of the 4 JMS resources created in the previous step. If there are any misspellings of these names or missing resources, the application may not start. If all went smoothly at this time, you can start the application and test. Slide 25, please. On this slide, you can see an example of what is logged in the transfer event table when a transfer between two agents occurs. For ease of viewing, I'm only showing 4 pertinent columns, which show you the source and destination agent names as well as action and transfer times. Also here, I just show you the command I used to transfer the file so you could coordinate that with what you see in this table. Slide 26, please. And that concludes my answer to question number 5. I will now turn the presentation back over to Pranav to answer the next question.
Thank you, Belinda. Let's go to slide number 27, please. Could you please provide a list of links where I might find a white paper, technical manuals, business case, and other useful documentation for MQFD and database logger? Okay, so let's go to slide number 28, please. As we all know, the most up-to-date and useful technical documentation is the Info Center. You click on that next to that mouse icon, and it will take you there. We all use that all the time, and it has the latest information. So make sure, please go and visit there. And that's constantly updated. And if you have any feedback, you can click on the bottom of the page, and you send us the feedback as well. For system requirement, there is another link. You click on the MQFD, and it says SOE, what is requirement to deploy MQFD. As far as the Red Book, there are a bunch of links here. The multi-enterprise file transfer WebSphere connectivity. Getting started with MQ File Transfer Edition version 7, and manage file transfer SOE using MQ File Transfer Edition. So you can click on any of those links, and we will be able to take you to the gradebook. If you need to know which tables are created in Database Logger, you click on that, and it's going to provide more information about all the tables. And as far as DB Logger is MQFD product with service and audit and tracking purposes, there is not specific white paper or business case found just for that. However, you can visit the MQFD page, and future resources will talk about some of the FDE white papers and introduction and information business case, stuff like that, on this link. That's all. Let's go to slide number 29, please.
Thank you, Pranav. Question number 7. I'd like to preface this one by saying that the WebSphere MQ FTE Web Gateway is an independent feature and is not required for Database Logger. But it does tie in with Database Logger. And just to introduce Web Gateway, it provides an interface that implements a RESTful API that allows you to interconnect with an existing FTE network. In cases where you have a machine there where you do not wish to run a true traditional FTE agent. So with that, the question was, can we use the FTE web gateway to monitor all FTE transactions or only the ones processed through the WMQ FTE web gateway? Slide number 30, please. And the answer is yes, absolutely. The WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition Web Gateway can be used to monitor transfers involving both the gateway and file transfers between traditional non-web agents. Those can be bridge agents, regular agents, could be even connect direct agents. So the RESTful API can be used then to create a JEE application that can monitor all of your managed file transfers. This is possible provided that the web gateway is configured to use the same a JDBC data source that connects to the same DB2 or Oracle database used by either your database logger, which is standalone, or the J2EE database logger. Also, the user ID that will be using the web gateway JEE application must also be mapped to a security role that specifically grants WMQFTE-audit permission. The web gateway sample, or the verification sample application, does not demonstrate the WMQFTE-audit role, and therefore it can only monitor managed file transfers that involve the web agent. Slide number 31, please.
Okay, thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for a live Q&A period.
We have no questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. So we actually have a question here. We would like to know how much space is expected to grow the database roughly in a year.
Hi, this is Gareth Bottomley from the development team. The space needed for storing transfer information in your database really is very dependent on the workload of your file transfer network. I would highly recommend anyone making use of the database logger to carry out testing so that you can determine the load and size requirements for your specific application and its transfer load.
Thank you, Garrett. The next question we have in the group chat is, are there any downsides to using the COORD, CMD, and the AGT queue manager as one queue manager instead of three?
Hi, this is Jason Simmons. I'll take this question. The answer is that yes, it is possible to use one queue manager in all three roles, that being the coordination, command, and agent queue managers. It makes for easier admin of your FTE network. However, the downside is that you then have just one point of failure. So if that was your only queue manager and it was acting as coordination queue manager and that went down, you may have other agents that use other agent queue managers, and so you would lose the functionality of the audit trail and logging. Likewise, if it was your only command queue manager and that queue manager was unavailable, then your agents wouldn't be able to respond to any incoming FTE commands. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. And Jackie, can we open the lines up one more time to see if we have any questions over the telephone?
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial *1 at this time. We do have two questions in queue. Our first question comes from Nick Laporte. Your line is open.
Oh, yes. I was wondering what the difference is between what the database logger logs for your transfers as opposed to MQ Attach and its ability to audit the transfers through its database. And then is it possible to leverage the DB logger within MQ Attach for the front-end capability?
So the question is the default logs, which is logged in the MQ versus database, is that the question?
MQ Attach is kind of like a front-end to MQ FTE and has a database portion where it logs transfers. Just wondering what the difference is between that and the DB logger for FTE.
Hi there, this is Gareth Bottomley. There is no interaction, if you like, between the two abilities, even though they both use a database. MQ Attach is a third-party product which we're happy for people to use, but we don't directly interact with its abilities in any way.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Raman Chadalawada. Your line is open.
Yes, the question is regarding the Oracle database. Basically, we know like the DBLogger logs to the database. We wanted to know about the maintenance. That is there any script for the routine purging from the database so that it doesn't grow over the time? So is there any maintenance script available, or should we need to come up of our own?
Hi, this is Gareth Bottomley again. There is no product-supplied maintenance script. We didn't want to supply something that was very narrow in ability, if you like, because we understand that a lot of companies will have quite wide-ranging requirements when it comes to either purging databases or taking backups and storing historical data. With the information in the database for the database logger, essentially an audit log of the transfers that have happened in your system, we assumed that a backup and storing of historical data would be the more common use case. But again, there's quite a lot of use cases that could be implemented there, so we've left that up to the database administrators as to how they would handle that individually.
Okay. Another question regarding the topic subscription by this DBLogger. Basically, you mentioned like when the DBLogger subscribes for a topic, it consumes the message. So is there any expiry? For example, let's say for a long time, if the messages are not consumed, then when we bring it up, there will be several messages sitting out there, and that crashes the ID most of the time. So is there a way by which we can set up the expiry of the messages in the topic for MQFT?
Hi, this is Gareth again. I don't believe expiring messages on a topic is supported as part of the MQ pub sub function at the current level. I'm happy to double check that for you, but I believe that's the reason why you can get that build-up occurring.
Yeah, because the general problem what we are facing is like when we open up FTE plugin on MQ Explorer, and if the Explorer is not been open for, say, about a week, then if you click on the transfer logs, it crashes. The Explorer crashes because there are a lot of things flooding in. So that's what we were thinking, if there is any kind of expiry or something so that it doesn't flood when the Explorer is open is not open for a long time. And again, if you configure the DBLogger and if for some reason if you don't subscribe for a long time, then there will be a flood of messages coming to DB, which might consume a lot of resources. So that's what was one of the concerns what we had.
Yes. Hi, this is Jason Simmons. I can take that. Basically, what you're seeing is each time a user of yours opens up the MQ Explorer to make use of the managed file transfer plugin.
Yes.
By default, out the box, the plugin makes a durable subscription to the system.fte/log topic. So even while the user has the Explorer closed, there's still that need to know about file transfers that have occurred, so that the next time the user will start up their managed file transfer plugin, they'll have a history of all the transfers that occurred while they were not using the plugin, of course. And that's why you'll see build-up on certain subscription managed queues. And so there is a new feature. I believe it came with 7.04, but not sure that will allow you to configure the file transfer plugin to make a non-durable subscription to the topic. So what that will do is it will not cause messages to build for each user of the MQ file transfer plugin. And so only when the user is actively using or has the MQ Explorer up, will it receive any file transfer logs?
Okay, this one, this setting is at the server level or is at the plugin level?
No, at the moment it is per a per instance of the MQ Explorer. So if user XYZ has a profile and uses the MQ Explorer, they will have their own set of preferences in the MQ Explorer.
Okay.
One of those is which is to set the WMQ File Transfer Edition plugin to make a non-durable subscription. We have a tech note out there, and I'd be happy to send that to you.
Okay, that would be great. So because this is and even it's consuming a lot of memory on the server and it's crashing the server.
Yes, understand. And I just want to also say that we internally are working on something to address this in a better manner. So hopefully in the future we'll have a better answer for this. But at the moment, the answer is to use the new feature or the new option in the MQ Explorer to turn off the durable subscriptions and make them non-durable.
Okay, so if let's say if we change that configuration, so and if we don't open up the IDE for, let's say, a week, and when you open it up, we'll not see any history. That's what you mean?
Well, yes. If you change it from durable to non-durable, basically that particular user of the plugin, if they have not used the plugin for a week, they will not have any history of the audit trail for that week.
Okay, that's good enough. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Documentation for that.
Our next question is from Robert Potter. Your line is open.
Hi, yes, Rob Potter from the Bank of Montreal. My question is, do you have any future plans to implement any other databases other than Oracle and DB2, such as SQL Server or Sybase?
Okay, so your question is anything except DB2 or Oracle?
Oracle, right, like Sybase or SQL Server.
Hi, this is Gareth Bottomley again. There's no current plans to support anything other than DB2 or Oracle. Obviously, this can change in future releases, but the current up-to-date knowledge is that only DB2 and Oracle are supported.
Okay. Thank you.
We have no further questions over the phone.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this point in time, I would like to move on to slide number 33 and pass the presentation over to Yana for a summary of today's webcast.
Hello, everybody again. This is Yana. So the things about we got to talk to today were what is the WMQ database logger. We got into some of the questions on how to set it up and how to use it and also address some of the troubleshooting questions. So if you think of any other questions that we did not take care of today, please do not hesitate to contact us, and we'll be more than happy to help you guys out. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Yana, for a great summary. At this point in time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session.